People are telling me your voice is not able to come across clearly. I hope you're okay with that. All right. It's so good to see the whole life group standing and welcoming us this morning. And such a joy to be together serving God. The beauty of the church is that when we work together, there is a greater glory. Sad to say, many of us don't experience that because we are not involved more with each other. And that's why we want you to see that as we work together, as we come together in unity of mind and purpose, there is a much more greater glory that God has, which we are yet to see. And so I truly challenge you this morning to see that you are part of a body, and that if only you could take the sacrifice and be together, serving the Lord together, really have asking the Lord to give us greater clarity regarding how we could serve more in this town. And I believe that will happen only as we are together in the same mind. You see, God will never ask us to do something more when we are not satisfied with what we have. So let's be those who are blessing each other so that we can be a blessing outside. I just came back from Chinchpada and it was a great time there. We were really blessed being there. More than just the teaching, we could sense that God has certain very specific plans for that place. It's not by accident that God sent Rachel as a forerunner to that place. And how we were able to contact them. And amazingly, it was one of the worst hit places for COVID almost in every place in India. So much so that the Wipro director, the owner, Azim Premji, donated an oxygen plant worth lakhs just for that small hospital. While people were struggling in the major hospitals to get an oxygen plant here, they got it free. So it just showed that there was something big happening there. And through it all, we are seeing how a couple whom God raised up in that place, a doctor couple, how they could further the vision of God in a large area, so many villages. You know, this hospital was started in 1940. By ladies, few ladies, always ladies do something good, isn't it? More than the men, I believe. The men are always struggling. Here we had four ladies. I still remember when we went to Jammu and Kashmir. And when we went to the villages all around the mountains, and you know what? When they went to preach the gospel, they found out that there were small pockets of believers here and there. And they asked them, "Why? How come you heard about Jesus?" And they said, around 30, 40, maybe more than that, 50 years ago, a lady used to come on horseback in all these villages, a foreigner lady. I don't know how many of you know to drive a horse. You can? No. But a lady on horseback, went to all these places and just sowed the seed of the gospel. And here there are believers still in those remote mountains, snow, and yet people are there still worshiping Jesus. You see, even Chinchpada, these few ladies started this church, this hospital. And after a long time, for 30, 40 years later, it was almost closed down, maybe because of lack of people who could carry it forward, it and came to a point where they came to almost a debt of 1.5 crore rupees because they had to pay off all the staff and the everyone left. And the EHA asked this doctor couple to see if they could revive this hospital. And this doctor couple, they said, this is too gone. Anyhow, we'll do a survey and we'll find out what is the real need of this place. And when they did a survey, they found out that the whole area, there are Christians. Remember, it's a Maharashtra, very remote place. And to their surprise, they asked all these people, how come you became Christians? And 80% of the people said, this hospital was the reason why we became Christians. So you see, this couple said, hey, I mean, we don't need anything more. Even if we don't do much medical work, this is going to be a place of spiritual revival. And that's how they started this work. And just 7 years now, it's come up very well. There are people getting saved, patients getting saved, staff getting saved, and God is doing a great work there. And we are, all our prayer should be, Lord, let that ministry expand so that the entire place can be touched by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The traditional church is there now because, like you always know, when people become believers for a long time, they become traditional. But the children, grandchildren are now seeking God, and that is the good thing that is happening there. All right, so can we come back to my message that I started with you 2 weeks ago? Just yesterday, someone was telling me, Pastor, I'll just say this to Malayalam for you to know, understand it in a more clearer way. Pastor, we come to church, ഞങ്ങള് സഭയിൽ വരുന്ന ഞങ്ങളുടെ ഭാരങ്ങൾ എന്തുവാ ഇറക്കി വെക്കാനാണ്. അപ്പം നമുക്ക് വേണ്ടി പോലും ഇറക്കി വെക്കാൻ പറ്റുന്നില്ല, കാരണം നിങ്ങൾ പഠിപ്പിച്ചുകൊണ്ടിരിക്കുകയാണ്. So I thought about this. I realized that basically what they actually are thinking is not very helpful. Because you see, we don't come to church to just release our burdens. Maybe the background where they're coming from is where they go to a particular church all alone and they stand before a statue and just cry and find some comfort out of that, some release. But you see, the real release doesn't come just by you releasing something, speaking about it or something like that. The release actually comes when God does the work in our hearts. You see, and so it is good for us during times of worship and singing and all those times when we have to offer ourselves to God. And I hope you understand that the worship time, the singing time, is not just for us to just learn the music or enjoy the tune. It is when we're offering ourselves to Him as a holy and living sacrifice, acceptable to God. Because when we do that, then God is ready to work in our hearts. And not only that, we need the teaching. Why we work so hard with the teaching here in front of the pulpit is because unless your lives are in order, God cannot work much. You see? Now again, we have this wrong picture that the teaching, the anointing just falls on us from the stage and that you just fall under the power and that's how you change. But that's not how it works, my dear friends. Jesus Christ healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out the demons. But then most of this time he taught the disciples. And even there they couldn't understand. Even there, they needed to see, to understand, for them to enjoy the greatness of what God was saying to them through Jesus Christ. Because you see, if you are here just in a mode where you think you just have to release something, then you're not ready for to be taught. We're not here for a picnic here this morning, my dear friends. We are here to be taught of God, so that we could do the things that He commands us to do. And remember, that's not the end. Because when we do the things that He commands us to do, that is when we are ready to receive what God has for us. The sad thing is, we think that the doing comes before the receiving. But we can serve God more only as God works in our hearts more. So you see, when we set our lives right, we're not here to just teach you, do not steal, do not kill, do not murder, do not this. We don't need to teach you about the law. But please note, the Old Testament saints found out from the law things that was too precious for them. How could they see things? You know, the whole of Psalm 119 talks about, every verse in that chapter talks about the ordinance, the law of God. How could David write so much about the law? Because he saw more than just do not steal, do not kill, do not commit adultery. There are things that we could receive out of the law if only we sought His face. Even the Old Testament law, why did God tell Joshua, meditate on this law day and night? Was it because he didn't know the law? Was it because there was no clarity regarding the law? My dear friends, if only you know that the book in your hands is giving you something more than you realize. But you have to search. And only then you will find. You never find a diamond in the surface, isn't it? You go down in the depths of the earth, bring it out, and even then, it looks just like any other stone. Surat is called the diamond city. Someone told us, please buy some diamonds. So we don't have money to buy, what is it called? What did we have put there in the airport? Lily? What is that long thing? Subway. Is even Subway so expensive in the airport? You see. You think diamonds are cheap? Even to make a diamond involves a lot of hard work. Oh. If only we knew there are things for us in the scriptures, even in the Old Testament. Well, there are some churches that even tell the members, don't read the Old Testament because it's all over. Read only New Testament. Old Testament will confuse you. Don't touch it. My message today is titled, The True Gospel, Repentance and Forgiveness. You You see, I realize it's, I need to be very careful in presenting these truths to you because it can go against a lot of what your thinking is so far. But again, the problem is only because we have not searched the scriptures closely enough. From the beginning, God created man to rule and to reign over all the earth. We see kingdoms being formed after man sinned. Right in Genesis chapter 10, chapter 11, we see kingdoms. We see Babel trying to come up and all kinds of things happening. You see, because man wanted to rule all the time. But the next time we hear God mentioning about the kingdom after the fall is this. Next time we hear God, let me stress on that. The next time we hear God mentioning the kingdom after the fall is in Exodus chapter 19. Can you show that, please, if we have time to look at that? We saw that last time. If you can quickly go take us to Exodus 19. And if you can read those two verses there, verse 5 and verse 6. You saw these verses last time. Now if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own possession among all the peoples, for the earth is mine, all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. You see, this is what God had in mind. And sad to say, we don't see this. We don't see this phrase, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Sad to say, Israel didn't understand this. And we don't understand this. Because for us, kingdom is all about power and glory. Isn't it? Israel soon walked away. See, and even though God brought them out of the kingdom of Egypt and he set them free so that he could be king over them, you know what happened? They asked for a physical king. Because you see, for them, kingdom was all about power and glory. They asked for a physical king. They didn't understand what God meant when he said, kingdom of priests. Do you understand that term? Kingdom of priests? You think about a kingdom. It's not the entire kingdom having people with white robes. You see, the problem with priests is that we always think of this white robe, isn't it? What do you call it? Malalam, what do you call it? Kupayam. Oh, Rajya Matam Kupayam Eta Alkara. No, that's not what he meant when he said kingdom of priests. What did God mean? Can you tell me what he meant by that statement? Anyone? Brave enough to volunteer? I don't have the answer myself. Kingdom of priests? Okay, good. That's what priest is, isn't it? Priests are always those who, stand before God and man, representing God here on earth. You see, because, look at the previous verse, oh, you are my own possession. Problem was they had run away from God. And God was bringing them back. He says, you are my, even though all the earth is mine, even though everything is mine, I want you to be my own possession. From the beginning, that is what God had in mind when he created man. Man was supposed to rule under God. So you see, when God says kingdom of priests, I hope you can understand, at least young people here, I don't know whether you even understand what this term means. Kingdom of priests. Maybe the next phrase is a bit more clearer. Holy nation. Holy nation. There is something that God has in mind for his people. Holy nation. You see, the people ask for a king. And you know what? It's very interesting. Even though God gave them a king, Saul, I would put it this way. Saul was the people's choice. Big, strong man. Always, when we think of big people, we always think of people powerful, isn't it? Big, strong, mighty, taller than all the other people. Saul was one head taller than all the others. He could stand out in a crowd. He was the people's choice. But you know what? David was God's choice. You see, God didn't make a mistake when he gave them Saul. But it always works that way, isn't it? God gives into our desires and tells us, now you show me what you can do, and I'll show you what I can do. Why did he allow sin in the first place? He wanted to show us our Savior. So you see, Saul was man's choice. He failed miserably. And God never mentioned him after that. And what did he tell David? I will give an everlasting kingdom. Even when the apostles, when they talked about the church, they spoke about the kingdom that God promised to David. What an amazing thing. The offspring of David is the Lion of Judah. The king who came down on earth and shouted out, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, you need to see this, because you see, if you don't see this, what I'm going to tell you, you'll always get it all completely wrong. Because we don't really see the fact that Christ was unhappy even after performing all the mighty miracles. Let me take you to one verse, please. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. Luke 10. After he gave them the anointing to go and cast out the demons and do mighty miracles, they came running with joy back and said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. It's always great to see, isn't it, when we lay hands on someone and the demons cry out, ah! We feel something inside. Oh, I am a demon caster. You see? That's how it happened to them. They came running by with joy and saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. You know what Christ said in chapter 10, verse 20? Do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. Don't rejoice because you have some power to do something. Rejoice because you have been given the grace to repent and enter the kingdom. If you look at repentance as we go on, please. You see, in Matthew chapter 8, another very interesting portion. You see, isn't it amazing when John the Baptist, chapter 11, not 8, when John the Baptist was put in prison, Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist was imprisoned after his ministry. Look at verse 2. And John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ. He sent word to his disciples and said, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Very interesting. I tell you, if only we could search these scriptures carefully, you'd find gems inside all this. You see, here it says very clearly, it says in verse 2, John, when he heard of the works of Jesus, he just heard about the mighty miracles that Jesus did. He just heard of the dead being raised, the blind seeing, the demons fleeing. He heard, it's very interesting that this verse says, he heard of the works of Jesus, and then he's sending his disciples and saying, "Now, please go and ask Jesus, are you the expected one? What happened to John? What happened to you, John? Why are you suddenly confused?" All this while you thought that Christ is the expected one. In fact, you're the one who baptized him. You saw the heavens open and you heard the voice of God himself. And suddenly you're confused. What happened to you? I could say at least two things here. Number one, you must have thought, "You are king and I'm sitting in this prison here. You came to be king over Israel, and look at me, still in jail. You don't have the power. You do miracles, yeah, but show me the miracle of bringing me out of this prison." Maybe he must have thought like that. "I'm still in jail. How come I'm still in jail and you are king?" But you see, there's any more important reason why he asked that question. You know why? Because he had a different picture about the king. He was not happy with the miracles. Even John the Baptist was confused because he didn't get the picture, my dear friends. He didn't get the picture. You know, the key to that answer is found not in verse 5. Most of us think that verse 5 is the answer. But the answer is not verse 5 from Jesus. The answer is verse 6. He says in verse 5, verse 4 and verse 5, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. What more do you need, John?" But Jesus Christ didn't stop there. Because like John, we are also confused, my dear friends. I wish we understood verse 6. "Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." Can somebody in Malayalam vaikkamo aaramathe vaakku? English is not very, it's a bit difficult to. Someone has Malayalam Bible here? Malayalam Bible, anyone? No? Ennil idari pogathavar bhagyavanmar. Endo naan idari pogande avashyam? Why should they stumble because of me? Look at me doing great miracles here. You know what the sad thing is? He was not doing what they expected. Oh yes, Jesus, we enjoy your miracles. We enjoy seeing the dead raised and the blind seeing. We rejoice. Maybe your own uncle must have been raised from the dead. Or maybe your son must have received a healing. They all received something from Jesus. But still, at the end, most of them were the same people who said, "Crucify him, crucify him. We want more than this." You see, this is the same problem we have in the church today. We have the wrong gospel. Yes, we preach about miracles, but please note that miracles are not an end in itself. People find fault with our church here, saying, "We don't see miracles in your church." True, maybe not, maybe yes. Depends on what you define a miracle. What more do you expect when you see the dead raised, the blind see, the deaf hear? Pastor, this is what we want. Are you sure? Blessed is he who does not take offense, because John took offense. You see, Pharisees asked for a sign. Very interesting. He was just doing the miracles. And then we see in Matthew 12, first they said, a demon-possessed man was blind and mute, and he was healed. And he began to see and speak. And Jesus, and you know what the Pharisees said? This man cast out demons because of he himself being Beelzebub. Then Christ gives them the answer. Then they become a bit more, ingenious. They become a bit more smarter. You know what they say next in chapter 12, verse 38? Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes said to him, "Teacher," they just called him a demon, by the way. They just called him father of demons, just a few verses before this. And then suddenly they changed their track, they changed their approach. Verse 38, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." We want to see a sign from you. You know, this is where we all make a mistake, isn't it? We have had enough miracles in our lives. And but sometimes we say, "Lord, one more sign." Yesterday, Vilsi was speaking to a patient, a young girl, I think it was, and telling her, "Do you know Jesus?" She said, "Yes, of course, he's my best friend. I speak to him all the time. I let him know all my problems. He's my best friend." Vilsi asked her, "You give me your key." She came in the car. "Give me your car key." She gave her the key. She said, "Now this is the key of your life. Do you think you can give this key of your life to Jesus?" She slowly took it back and she said, "I don't think so. I don't think so." You see, most of us misunderstand that verse where Jesus Christ says, "The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence take it by force." You know what most of us preach about that verse? Oh, the kingdom of God is just open and people are just rushing in like anything. Are you sure? Again, you forget the context. If only you could read in context. I'm surprised how few people understand that verse. People are forcing their way into it, really. Because in very next few verses, Jesus Christ is crying out, "Woe to you! If only the miracles that happened here happened in Sidon, they would have repented long ago." You see, he was manifesting the power of the kingdom. But the kingdom could be entered only through repentance. And the sad thing is, we even don't know what the word repentance means. I went to a church recently. Catholic Church. And it's so amazing how they keep on asking God to forgive them. In their, liturgy, numerous times there is this phrase, "Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us." Anything wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. But you know the tragedy? The tragedy is that they never see that they have been forgiven. They have never realized, they have never received a repentance that can lead them to life. And even after they die, they'll pray for you. Because they need to somehow push you to heaven. I'm not finding fault with the Catholics. I'm just sad and grieved because people ask for forgiveness and they're not seen. And experience the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus. They talk about blood. But do you know that the blood of Jesus can bring you from death to life? From darkness to light. They don't understand what it means to be justified, to receive a release. For them to cry out and say, "Oh, I've been forgiven." I don't know how many here can shout out like that. Very interesting. But when Peter testified about how the Gentiles came to Jesus, when he came back to Jerusalem and spoke of how the Gentiles received Jesus, you know what the Jews said, the believer Jews said, oh, we are thankful that God has granted the Gentiles repentance for life. You see, my dear friends, the only entrance to the kingdom is through repentance. And what does repentance offer? Repentance offers forgiveness of sins. And what is the fruit of repentance and forgiveness? Please read Acts, you'll find out. Acts chapter 1. Sorry, Acts chapter 2. Repent and be. Verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You see? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. John said like this, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. If you have been granted repentance from heaven, if you have enjoyed the forgiveness of sin, surely the Holy Spirit is being granted to you. The tragedy is people keep on asking for forgiveness and they have never tasted the blessedness of having been forgiven. So it's not just that you confess your sins to God. Oh Lord, I did this, I did that, please forgive me. This is the sad thing today. When you preach the gospel to someone and tell them, and you know what you tell them? Confess your sins. What all did you do when you were a baby before you came to Jesus? I used to drink a lot. I used to also smoke once in a while in the bathroom. Oh, really? And I used to look at bad pictures and see bad movies. Oh. You see? Say no to all this and God will receive you. Are you sure? You see? You know what's the greatest sin we need to repent of? We are walking our own way. When the key was being shown to her, she said, Jesus Christ is my best friend. But the key is in my pocket. Look at this verse, please. Everywhere you hear, read the word repentance, you will read the word repent and turn to God. Look at Acts. Chapter 26. Verse 20. Kept declaring both to Damascus first and to and also at Jerusalem and then throughout all the region of Judea and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. Repent and turn to God. Acts 20 verse 21, solemnly testifying to both the Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God. You think repentance is just you confessing a few sins and then telling, oh, I want Jesus Christ in my life. I did this, I did that, I'm sorry. I have many bottles under my bed. I will take it all and throw it. Pastor, I will destroy it. You know, cigarette packets, you know, cigarette packets. Oh, I will burn it. Pastor is very impressed too. Do you know God has to grant repentance unto life? If only we knew. If only we knew what real repentance can bring. I felt sorry when I heard those people in that church saying, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. They have never tasted of the glory of redemption. Have you? It's a sad thing when the church can't even preach the true gospel. Look at Matthew. I'll close with that. You ask for a sign. Luke, isn't it? Where's that? You ask for a sign. You know what Jesus Christ answers there in Matthew 12? He says, an evil and adulterous generation, in verse 39, craves for a sign. You see, isn't it amazing that even if we have no desire for God, we are still asking for signs? Isn't it terrible? That even when we have no desire for God, we still want one more miracle. And why did they ask for a sign? Very interesting. See, they use the word sign. Show us that you are from God, is what they were trying to say. Yes, you did many miracles, we admit. But give us a sign to show us that you are from God. He could have easily done that. What did he reply? No sign will be given but the sign of Jonah the prophet. It's very interesting, isn't it? About the sign of Jonah the prophet. You see, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. They didn't even, realize no one knew that Jonah was in the belly of the fish. But God was doing something big when he put Jonah in the fish, isn't it? I want to save my people. And I am willing to put my prophet in the belly of the fish for him to finally repent. It's a sign that God wants to save. And you know what? When Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, it was a bigger sign. It was a bigger miracle. For Jonah, it became a sign of salvation. Yes, they repented. When Jonah came back and preached, they repented. God saved them. But you know what Jesus Christ is saying? Even this sign that I'm going to do, being 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, even then you will not repent. You ask for a sign, I will show you a sign. See, you know what had happened? It became a sign of destruction for them. A miracle, the greatest miracle, became a sign of destruction. You know how many people today receive miracles and yet they are not inside. I'm not asking people outside this door. I'm asking people in this room. How many of you are inside? Because the biggest miracle has happened, my dear friends. You're not going to see a bigger thing than this. 3 days and three nights he was in the heart of the earth for you and for me. And will it become a sign of destruction for you? Because you know it. And yet, you don't want to repent and turn to God. Please, my dear friends, what more can God do? Same thing mentions once about sign, the tongues being a sign of destruction, he says in some other portion. Tongues is a sign. Same way here, Jesus Christ is saying, this sign will be a sign of destruction for you because you do not want to repent. My dear friends, mighty miracles God is doing everywhere. And we are not in this church discounting miracles, please. In fact, I have tasted of miracles more than any one of you sitting here, most likely, because you do not know my history much. Let me tell you, my dear friends, let not these miracles go in vain. Because this miracle is not an end in itself. Don't boast about what God did for you by giving you your miracle. Boast that your names are in the book of life because he has granted you repentance that leads to life. Are you ones who are asking for more sign? What do you need? What do you really want from God? Because you see, he is building a holy nation. There is no shortcut for you. You don't enter through the miracle. You enter by giving your life to Jesus. And telling him that you belong to him. You are his own possession. And you want to be made holy. Because you see the power that Jesus, you see, most of us are drunk with power, isn't it? We, especially people who are anointed for leadership, the moment God gives you some power for ministry, you get all drunk with it. But you see, why did God give you the power to cast out the demons and all these things? Because he wants the people to see that the power belongs to Jesus. You are not the one carrying the power. In fact, Peter so beautifully said, why are you looking at us? As if we did something? Will today's miracle workers say that? Today you have a big convention and people get healed and you say, oh, glory to God, glory to God, but you want to bring half the glory to yourself, isn't it? Can you boldly say, why are you looking at us? As if we did something. You don't have the guts to say that. We are drunk with power. But you know, even Jesus did not advertise his miracles. He didn't want to. He said, don't speak about it. Have you found that strange? Don't you find it strange? How could he do this, Jesus? We want to make you famous and you're hiding. They didn't understand that the real power, the power of Jesus Christ residing in your heart. Hallelujah. Real power is the power of God being able to dwell with you and the power of a transformed heart. That is the greater power. And everything has to bow to that, because one day all these miracles will cease. And what remains is the Spirit made perfect. We will not need more miracles because we are the miracle. Hallelujah. Can we pray, please? Father, we commit ourselves to you, knowing fully well that you are in charge. Oh God, even in this room, if only each one of us could realize that repentance draws us to life, life abundant, the joy of being restored, the joy of tasting of the forgiveness that comes from heaven, the joy of knowing that we have been brought back to God and nothing can snatch us out of your hands. Oh Lord Jesus, we want to boast in the work of the cross. We want to boast in the redemptive power of the blood of Jesus. We want to boast in the great things that you can do in us. Oh God, because there is nothing bigger than a changed heart. Oh God, we are all, like we sang this morning, we all wander away. And only you can draw us back, oh God. We need you, we need you. Can we sing that song this morning and close this meeting, please?
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Lord, I come and I confess how weak here I find my rest. Without you I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you.
Sin runs deep, your grace is for. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are,
hallelujah,
amen, Lord, I am free. Holiness
from you. I have nothing, Lord.
You're my one defense. You're my one defense. You're my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
Oh Father, help us to turn away from every other gospel, every other way where we want our, Lord, our ideas, our philosophies, our thoughts of what the kingdom is, what the church is. Oh Lord, help us to repent and turn away from every one of these and turn to you. Amen. Lord, turn to you and embrace you completely. That Lord, walking with you is, Lord, meeting with you, receiving forgiveness, repenting, turning away from our ways. And Lord, that great reality of being justified by faith and the assurance of salvation. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh Lord, that we may receive and walk in it. Lord, not just pine for it, not just long for it, but Lord, walk. To be able to say with the apostle, I know whom I believed.
Amen.
And I am persuaded. I've run the race. I've done. Now there's laid up for me, because total confidence. Now those who are having been justified by faith, having peace with God. Hallelujah. And to come with the spirit of sonship to say, Abba Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the invitation that's open to everyone. And we don't need to stand out and keep asking to come in. But Lord, we can repent, meet with you, and come. Lord, forgive us if we have, like the people in the New Testament times, expect an earthly kingdom. Lord, if they're not willing to look at the heavenly kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. Oh Lord, thank you for the word. Lord, help us to walk with the rejoicing in our heart that our names are written in the book in heaven. And those who have not had this, Lord, this assurance and this surety that they will turn to you and they will meet with you, Lord. We bless you this morning in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.